More Idaho Matters right now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. New changes in Idaho's voter laws has created some confusion for folks registering to vote. New laws went into effect July 1st that create consistent standards for registering to vote, and it makes some changes when it comes to the kind of photo identification that you can use in order to register. Some groups, including Babe Vote and the League of Women Voters of Idaho, told Idaho Reports that the new law made the registration process, quote, frustrating and difficult. So here to explain how the new law works is Idaho Secretary of State Phil McGrane. Phil, nice to have you on the program again.
Thank you, Gemma. It's always a great opportunity to chat with you.
So let's just start with the mechanics of this new law. You have to prove your identity and where you live. So what exactly changed on July 1st?
Yeah, that's a great place to start. I think you and I both, when elections have come up, have said so many different times in various interviews and on the air, you know, leading up to an election, what people need to register to vote, particularly mm-hmm. when they head to the polls, where they would need to bring a photo ID and proof of residence, like a utility bill. I think we've all said that numerous times. And that has for a long time been the standard for same day registration. But one of the things in Idaho law was just depending on the method in which you registered to vote, there were different requirements. So same day registration at the polls required photo ID and proof of residence. Registering online required that you had an Idaho driver's license and could provide your Idaho driver's license information. Registering in person, you had to show ID, but not proof of residence. Registering by mail, you didn't have to show any of those. And so it really was pretty inconsistent, just depending on the method of registration. And so the changes this session made it uniform, saying all voters will provide the same information, regardless of what manner they register to vote. And those two things are photo identification, just most likely your driver's license showing you are who you say you are, and then proof of residence. So a utility bill, a bank statement, some other documentation that shows that you live at the address you're registering. And so we've been in the process of making these changes.
Okay. So Phil, as you just mentioned, it's the identification part of it. And let's be clear, a lot of people don't have a driver's license. They don't have a passport. This costs money. With that said, it's important to show identification when you're registering to vote. So what about the folks that don't have a driver's license? They can't afford it. I mean, what other options are out there for them?
Yeah, Gemma, I think you raise a good point. And there's kind of two parts to that question. The first piece, and it really was a key component of the legislation this last session, was the introduction of a free ID card from the state of Idaho for anyone who needs one to vote. So it's the same as any other state-issued ID. It doesn't include the privilege to drive, but it's an ID that can be used for, you know, getting on a plane, opening a bank account, or heck, even if someone wants to buy beer. And that is now available to anybody who meets the requirements to register to vote and who doesn't have a driver's license. And that was critical in terms of our efforts to both create the uniformity, but also elevate the standards in terms of what IDs are used for voting. And I think an important point is this was a really data-driven decision as we worked on the legislation. We looked back at the e-poll book data, and I think e-poll books have been one of the greatest improvements in our election system over the last 5 years. And we now can track what IDs people show when they go vote, because we also have a requirement to show ID when you vote. And out of the nearly 600,000 people who voted during the last November election, 98.8% of voters used a driver's license. I mean, Idaho's not an easy state to get around. So driver's license, I knew it would be the most common, but I didn't realize it would be just as common as it is. Every other ID, passport, student IDs, concealed weapons permits, they're all just a fraction of a percent. Passport happens to be the next highest at half of a percent of voters used a passport. And so knowing this information, we are able to help also standardize what IDs are used for voting.
Okay, so if I'm understanding this, then, as I mentioned in the beginning of our interview, there are some organizations like the League of Women Voters of Idaho, as well as Babe Vote, who are saying that there is a lot of confusion in regards to standardizing this. Can you clarify that? Because as I'm talking to you, I'm sitting here thinking, this makes sense. It's all uniform. It doesn't matter if you're at the county fair and if an organization comes up and registers you to vote. if you don't happen to have these two pieces of identification, so an ID and some type of proof of residency, then you have to take more steps to register to vote. I can understand the frustration on these organizations that really want to get people registered to vote. With that said, though, Phil, you know, what is your response to folks who are saying this is just too confusing and it's basically not fair?
Yeah, I think, Gemma, this raises a point that I had a conversation multiple times throughout the legislative session. And I find myself in this position a lot from all different angles is there's a narrative that access to voting and security are at odds with one another. And really, we can have secure elections and maintain access to voting. And I think we're really trying to strike that balance in this case. We've worked hard in our office to streamline the process as much as possible for Idaho voters. So, for example, at a voter registration drive, people can still collect cards just the same as they always have, whether it be the League of Women Voters or any other organization, a political party, for example, and turn them in. The county clerks now, we have processes that will flag the voters and send them a letter saying, hey, in order to complete your registration, you need to take these steps. And they can do it on the day of election when they vote. They can complete that. They can pop into the office. But really, the big steps and strides our office is making is with online voter registration. We've partnered closely with ITD so that when you enter your driver's license information, we'll actually go and validate your address against your driver's license records and do it for you. You don't have to come and show proof of residence. We've already validated it with ITD. Similarly, we're working on steps that people can actually take a photo of their driver's license and we'll be able to validate their driver's license as well. Hopefully that'll be up in the future. You know, I know the first week of this month, our website was down, and I think people have pointed to that as disruption, but really we intentionally did it right now because of the new law changing, and this isn't a busy time for voter registration. And so we're geared up for the August elections coming up and the November city elections coming up. And I think, you know, between us and the county clerks, we've taken a lot of steps to help continue to make it smooth for voters, but also add that uniformity and standard so everyone has confidence in the process.
I only have a bit of less than a minute left with you, but another point of contention was not being able to use student ID anymore. That law passed this year and changed. So again, there are other forms of identification.
Yeah. So that was a key part of, you know, me being involved at all was that we were going to have a free ID. So if any student needed them, and we've talked with the universities, a key component is just the standards for student IDs are different. And interestingly, like I talked to CWI recently, and they actually ask for a government ID in order to receive your student ID. And so we kind of end up in this, you know, ID vortex a little bit. And that's where we're trying to provide the free IDs are important. I think one of the main things is we saw 104 student IDs used out of the 600,000 votes cast last November, 0.02% of the IDs used. And so we're actually taking efforts to reach out to all of those voters. And we're also creating partnerships with all of the universities throughout the state to let voters know, or to let students know specifically how they can register to vote, what the steps are, if they need to get a free ID, what the steps are to do that. We've specifically set aside funds for voter education because, you know, one of our biggest goals is to see as many people in Idaho vote as possible.
Well, as always, Phil, really nice to have you on the program, and thanks for the clarification on these new laws. We've been talking with Idaho Secretary of State Phil McGrane about the new law that changes the way Idaho registers people to vote. We will, of course, put lots of links on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org, so you have all the information you need. Phil, thanks again.
Thank you, John.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.